All right, welcome to the deep dive, everyone. Today we're diving into a super interesting area where free speech kind of bumps up against the government's need to prevent violent riots.
Yeah, a really tricky area for sure.
Yeah, and to really get into this, we're going to be focusing specifically on a court case, United States v. Daley.
Yeah, Daley, big one.
And this case really revolves around this law, the Federal Anti-Riot Act.
Right.
And, you know, for our listeners out there, the goal here is to give you all a clear idea of where the law draws the line.
Absolutely.
Between, you know, someone's right to express themselves politically, even if it's controversial, and actions that are just flat out illegal.
Like, when does a protest, you know, become something more, something that the feds can actually step in and prosecute?
Right, exactly. And we've got a ton of great material to help us break this all down. We've got some podcast commentary specifically on the Daley case, a really detailed case brief, and then just a standard legal brief laying out all the facts, the issues, everything.
Sounds good. Yeah, let's use all of that to kind of map this out.
So how about we start, you know, with the story behind the Daley case itself? Who is this Benjamin Daley guy and what landed him in federal court?
So Daley was part of this group. It was called the Rise Above Movement, RAM.
RAM.
And the case brief really digs into their ideology,
yeah,
you know, white supremacy, anti-Semitism, racism. But the big thing here, what got them in trouble, were their actions at these political rallies.
Got it. So these weren't just like peaceful protests. The sources we have, they talk about RAM being involved in some seriously violent rallies.
Oh, yeah. Definitely not peaceful. We're talking California, Virginia, all between March and August of 2017. Mm-hmm. And of course, the big one, the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville.
Charlottesville, right. That one was huge.
Huge. And the allegations are pretty disturbing. You know, they talk about RAM. They were acquiring gear specifically for fighting.
Like what kind of gear?
Things like knuckle dusters.
Yeah.
And they were actively going after counter protesters.
Wow. So this is premeditated violence, not just, you know, things getting out of hand.
Yeah, it seems very intentional. And that's what led to the federal charges, right?
Right. So Daley, along with some others, they get hit with conspiracy to violate the Anti-Riot Act and then actually violating the act itself. That's 18 U.S.C. section 2101 for anyone who wants to look it up. So let's break that down. What exactly is this Anti-Riot Act? What does it actually say?
So basically, the Anti-Riot Act makes it a federal crime to travel across state lines or even use things like the internet with the intent to incite a riot.
Okay.
Or to actually participate in one, obviously, or to commit violence in support of a riot or help others do any of that stuff. It's pretty broad.
I see. So it's not just about like being present at a riot. It's about the intent, the planning, and the actual act of crossing state lines.
Exactly. It's got to have those interstate elements to become a federal crime.
Got it. And this is where the whole free speech issue gets tricky, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You can see why the defendants in the Daley case immediately challenged the act.
They did, yeah. They said it was unconstitutional, right?
Yeah.
What were their main arguments against the law?
So they had a few big ones. One, they said the act was too vague. You know, the wording wasn't clear enough about what exactly was illegal.
Okay, so vague.
Right. And they argued that vagueness could lead to the law being used unfairly.
I see. Okay.
Two, they argued that the law was overbroad, that it could end up sweeping up activities that are protected by the First Amendment, even if they weren't intended to incite violence.
Right, right. So, like, even passionate political speech could be caught up in this.
Exactly. And their third big argument was that Congress didn't even have the power to make this law in the first place.
Interesting. But the court, the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Virginia, they didn't agree with any of that, right? They said the Anti-Riot Act was totally constitutional.
Yeah, they did. They basically said, nope, this law is fine, it's constitutional, and these guys are going to trial.
Okay, so let's unpack why the court came to that conclusion, especially when you're dealing with something as fundamental as the First Amendment. How did they balance the need to prevent riots with everyone's right to free speech?
So this is where a really famous Supreme Court case comes in, Brandenburg v. Ohio.
Brandenburg, right.
And that case set up this test for what's called incitement. Basically, the government can only ban speech if it's directly aimed at causing imminent lawless action and is actually likely to cause that action.
Okay.
And the court in the Daley case, they said the Anti-Riot Act fits that test perfectly.
How so?
Because it only punishes speech that's specifically designed to incite imminent violence. It's not about just expressing an unpopular opinion, even if it's a really hateful one.
I see.
So, like, Ram could have all sorts of terrible beliefs, but just having those beliefs isn't a crime.
Right, of course.
It's when they start planning to use violence and they actually travel across state lines to do it, that's when the Anti-Riot Act kicks in.
So the court is drawing a clear line between, you know, even hateful speech, which might be protected, and actually taking concrete steps to incite violence.
Exactly. They said the First Amendment doesn't give you a free pass to commit violence.
Yeah.
And the act is focused on the actions, the planning, and the violence itself, not just the beliefs behind them.
Okay, that makes sense. But then, you know, riots usually seem like they're local events. Why is this a federal crime? Why does the federal government even have the authority to get involved here?
Right. Good question. And the answer is the Commerce Clause.
Oh, the Commerce Clause. Right, of course.
Yeah, that's the part of the Constitution that lets Congress make laws about interstate commerce.
Yeah.
And the court said that traveling across state lines to start or participate in a riot, that is interstate commerce.
Because you're literally crossing state lines.
Exactly. And plus, they might be using the internet to organize, buying weapons online, driving on highways to get to the riot. All of that ties it to interstate commerce. So the court said if you use interstate commerce to commit violence, the federal government can step in.
Okay. And that even applies after cases like United States v. Lopez, where the Supreme Court said Congress's power under the Commerce Clause isn't unlimited.
Right. But the court in Daley said this is different. In Lopez, it was about guns in school zones, which the court said wasn't really directly connected to interstate commerce.
Right, right.
But in Daley, the court said traveling across state lines to incite a riot, that's a direct use of interstate commerce, so Congress can definitely make laws about it.
Got it. Okay, so let's shift gears a little bit. The defendants in this case, they also argued that the indictment itself, the document that formally charged them with these crimes, wasn't specific enough.
Yeah, they did.
What was their issue with it?
So they claimed that the indictment was too vague, that it didn't give them enough detail about what they were actually accused of doing.
Okay.
And they said that made it hard to prepare their defense.
Right, that makes sense.
And they also argued that without enough detail, they could be at risk of double jeopardy.
Double jeopardy, meaning being charged twice for the same crime.
Exactly. But the court disagreed. They looked at the indictment and said, no, this is actually pretty specific.
Okay.
It listed the dates and locations of the rallies where the violence happened. It even described specific acts of violence that Daley and the others were accused of committing, like physically attacking a journalist.
Wow, so they were really getting into the details.
They were. And the court said that was enough. It gave the defendants enough information to understand the charges and to prepare their defense.
Okay, so the court said the indictment was good to go, but then there's this other legal issue that came up, something called Wharton's Rule. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, so Wharton's Rule, it's this legal principle that basically says if a crime requires at least two people to commit it, then you can't charge someone with conspiracy to commit that crime.
Okay.
Like, you can't be charged with conspiring to rob a bank if you're the only person involved. You need at least one other person for it to be a conspiracy.
Makes sense.
So the defendants in Daley, they argued that a riot, by its very nature, involves more than one person.
Yeah.
So they said, because of Wharton's Rule, you can't charge them with conspiracy to riot. But the court disagreed. They said Wharton's Rule doesn't apply if the conspiracy involves a bigger group of people than the minimum needed to commit the crime.
Okay.
And in this case, the conspiracy involved the whole Rise Above movement.
Oh, right.
Which was way more than just the few people needed to start a riot. So the court said, nope. Wharton's Rule doesn't apply here. The conspiracy charge is valid.
Interesting. So a lot of back and forth on the legal arguments here. But what ultimately happened in the case itself?
In the end, the defendants entered what's called a conditional guilty plea.
Conditional. What does that mean?
It means they pleaded guilty to the charges, but they still reserve the right to appeal the court's decision on the constitutionality of the Anti-Riot Act.
So they were basically saying, we'll plead guilty for now, but we still think this law is wrong, and we want a higher court to take a look at it.
Exactly. And that's what happened. They appealed to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Mm-hmm.
And the Fourth Circuit, they upheld the convictions.
So another win for the government.
Yeah, a big one. That decision really cemented the constitutionality of the Anti-Riot Act, at least in that part of the country.
And also shows just how complex these issues can be, right?
Well, absolutely. It's this constant balancing act between free speech and public safety.
And the Daley case really highlights that, right? It gives a very concrete example of how courts have to interpret laws and apply these really big constitutional principles in some really, really tricky situations.
Yeah, it does. It's a case study. in like statutory interpretation, how you figure out what a law actually means, and constitutional law, how different rights and government powers all interact.
Right. So for our listeners, let's just sum up the key takeaways from our deep dive into Daley and the Anti-Riot Act. So the act, it's a federal tool to stop violent activity that crosses state lines. And importantly, it's designed to avoid stepping on people's First Amendment rights.
Right.
It does that by targeting incitement to imminent violence, you know, the actual planning and committing of violence, not just having controversial opinions, and the use of interstate travel or facilities. That's key to giving the federal government jurisdiction. And finally, the indictment, the document that lays out the charges, that has to be really detailed and specific to be fair to the defendants.
Exactly. A lot of safeguards in place. It really highlights that even when dealing with potentially dangerous situations, the legal system is designed to protect individual rights.
Absolutely. So to our listeners out there, think about this. Where do you see the toughest lines being drawn today between protected political speech and actions that cross the line into violence? What do you think cases like Daley mean for the future of protests, you know, especially in our current climate?
Yeah, great question. And what about the use of the Anti-Riot Act going forward? Will it be used more? Will it be challenged again?
It's a lot to think about. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.